Good morning. If you have a copy of the scriptures, whether a paper copy or on your phone, open up to the book of Jude. And as you're turning there, all right, I got to brag on Jesus real quick. One of the things I've tried to do the last several years, I try to celebrate little things and big things because I think they both matter in the scheme of what God is doing in his kingdom all around the world. This is a little thing, but this is a big thing. So Ministry of the Finding Hope Center, one of the things we try to say around here is Finding Hope Center is not a ministry that we do, it's who we are as a church. It's become part of our identity over the last few years. And so this last couple of months, we've helped several families. There's deliveries that are going out today, which is incredible. Well, last Sunday, after our appointments, we had some volunteers serving. We looked in the sheet room. So we have, if you've never been over there before, we have one room that's solely dedicated to bed sheets and pillows. It's basically all that's over in that singular room. And I think we were down to like a couple of pillows left in that room. So for next month, we weren't really going to have very many pillows for families to pick from. And we've already got people that are scheduled. And so Pastor Joe jumped on Amazon and used some Amazon reward credits that he had, and he ordered 9 pillows. And you're like, oh man, like how cool of the Lord to provide Amazon credits that he can buy 9 pillows. You know, we were just so excited. Well, Thursday, we go down to Stowe Mission. So Stowe Mission of Central Ohio, down by Nationwide Children's Hospital. Incredible ministry down there. It's just so cool what the Lord is doing for them. And they said, hey, we've got a bunch of donations for you. Can you guys come down and pick them up? And so we're loading up toasters and toaster ovens and fans and candy bars and all kinds of stuff they were giving us for the Finding Hope Center. And the guy that runs the ministry, Josh, he's a bit of a goofball. And Josh is kind of running around like kind of like a squirrel that had just had like a pixie stick kind of a thing. I mean, he's everywhere. And Josh is, he's standing and goes, wait. What's wrong with you? I think I had something for you, but I can't remember what it was. And he's standing there, and Joe can attest to this. And he looks up on this shelf and he goes, those 5 boxes right there, take all of them. In a food pantry, by the way. They weren't even in a normal, those 5 boxes, take all of them. And we're looking, we're like, what in the world are those? Pillows. And we walked out with 70 pillows donated to the Finding Hope Center. Y'all, Jesus is in the details. And it is just amazing. One of those phrases, you've heard me say it a billion times. We are living in the middle of a miracle. And when Jesus, he's involved in the big things and he's involved in the little things, and they all matter in the grand scheme of things that he is doing for his kingdom, even pillows. So if you serve next month in the Finding Hope Center and you walk by those pillows, I hope you walk by and you go, thank you, Lord, for a guy that's like a squirrel that just ate a pixie stick, because if he wouldn't have remembered that moment, we wouldn't have pillows. Anyways, hey, let's continue our series in the book of Jude, part number 6 this morning. If you'll stand with me in honor of reading God's word. And these verses will be up on our screen as well. We're going to start in verse 17. We're going to read down through verse 19. God's word says this through Jude. He says, but you, dear friends, remember what was predicted by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They told you, in the end time there will be scoffers living according to their own ungodly desires. And these people create divisions, and they're worldly. And he gives us the why, not having the Spirit. Let's pray together. God, we love you. Father, thanks for brief moments of celebration where we can see, in even small things, Lord, your activity and your hand of blessing on our church. God, I pray now as we just continue this journey through the book of Jude this morning that your Spirit would be very present in this room. And God, that your Spirit would speak to us very specifically. So, Father, we pray for open ears to hear so clearly from you this morning. And God, I pray that we wouldn't just hear, but we would have soft hearts, God, so that what you say to us would begin to impact and change us from the inside out. And that, God, you would find us obedient, that we're not simply hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word and people that live and walk in accordance to the truth of the scriptures. We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I was young, I used to love to go to state and county fairs. I was thinking about this week. I actually wrote this down. There's nothing better, in my personal opinion, there's nothing better than a stromboli and a funnel cake from a food truck when you're standing on 100-degree blacktop surrounded by thousands of strangers. I mean, it's the American dream all the way around. It's just as magical as it sounds. I used to love it. But one of the things I always remember about going to the fair, and some of you parents are going to cringe when I say this, I remember the goldfish game. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Remember the goldfish game? Some of you are still reaping the benefits of the goldfish game in your house right now, because the goldfish game, if you remember, it was a large round table, sometimes a square table. It'd be surrounded by hundreds of those little goldfish bowls filled with colored water with little goldfish swimming inside, because that's probably good for them. They're swimming inside, and they'd give your child for a measly $5 three ping pong bowls. And you'd take those ping pong balls and you would throw those ping pong balls. And if you got one to land inside of one of those goldfish bowls, you were the recipient of a goldfish. Any parents, have you ever been there? Anybody have a goldfish right now from that? Nobody? Good, thank you. You're not going to admit it in person. That's fine. I was thinking just a couple of things this week, and there's a point to this. First off, goldfish are ridiculous pets. My kids have been asking for fish recently. They want another pet. They're like, Daddy, can we get a goldfish? No, because goldfish are ridiculous pets. They're absolutely worthless. They don't do anything. I had a goldfish that I won at a fair. Her name was Abigail. I named my goldfish Abigail when I was a kid. And literally all she did was jump out of the bowl. Every day when I went to school, Abigail, jump out of the bowl. You'd come home, resuscitate her, throw her back in the bowl. I mean, it's just a stupid pet, in my opinion. But I was thinking about this, and I just was researching goldfish this week, and it ties into the sermon, luckily. But I learned this week from Time Magazine, did you know that the average goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds? You probably hear that, you're like, man, what a dumb fish. What a dumb fish. Listen to this. I thought this was interesting. Microsoft, the tech company, did a study several years ago, and in the year 2000, they found that the average adult in our country, how long do you think the attention span of the average adult in the year 2000 was in the United States of America? Just shout a number out.
2 seconds.
2 seconds? Probably. 45 seconds. You're being generous. The average attention span of the average adult in the United States of America in 2000 was 12 seconds. We beat goldfish by 3. Woo! All right, good for us. Now, fast forward 20 years. 2000s, rise of the digital age, rise of the iPhone and the iPad and TV technology. Check this out. I thought this was interesting. It's sad. The average attention span of the average adult in the United States of America in the year 2020 dropped to 8 seconds. It means a goldfish can pay attention to something longer than most of us can. Isn't that crazy? Now, think about this. What does that tell us? And this ties into Jude 17, I think. Unless we work at it, we have a huge tendency to forget things, don't we? Unless we work at remembering things that we find valuable and things that we consider important, if we don't prioritize remembering, our wiring as humans works against us, that we forget things that matter and we forget things that are important. And Jude is starting to sum up for us the 16 verses in this letter that he's written so far. And in verse 17, he transitions for us today around this idea and this practice of remembering. Verses 17, 18, and 19, Jude places this heavy emphasis on the need for you and I to remember specifically what the scriptures say as we encounter daily life. We've spent 5 Sundays so far. Let me just catch us up if you haven't been here. Getting this continual warning from Jude that false teachers would rise in the ranks of the local church, bringing with them perverted versions of the gospel. They would say things, they would teach things that sound good, but they were contrary to what the Word of God actually teaches. If you remember in Jude, verse 4, listen to what he said. He said that for some people, that's false teachers, false pastors, leaders in the local church, who were designated for this judgment long ago, have come in by stealth. Under the cover of night, in the shadows, they had worked their ways up in the ranks of these churches. And Jude says they're ungodly, turning the grace of our God into sensuality and denying Jesus Christ, our only Master and Lord. They weren't submitting to what Jesus had actually said. They weren't submitting to the scriptures. Instead, they were just saying what they wanted to say to try to get people to follow them. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, called this their ability to tune into people's itching ears, just saying the things that people wanted to hear rather than what the scriptures actually said. Jesus calls these in Matthew 7, verse 15, wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. These men that were leading in these churches for personal gain, for physical pleasure, and trying to increase their monetary gain personally. And if you remember in verse 3 of Jude, Jude says, look, when I originally set out to write this letter to you all, I wanted it to be about the gospel. I wanted it to be about this faith, this common faith that we all shared. But I heard about what was going on in those churches, and I had to take a different direction. And so from verses 4 all the way down to verse 16, Jude has been describing and warning each of us of these false teachers. Warning of their lack of reverence for authority, warning of the hidden danger that they are, warning of the chaos and division that they bring inside the church if they're left unchecked. And now in verse 17, Jude brings his attention back to the faithful believers in whom he's writing, and he calls them to not forget. He says, don't forget, remember what the apostles, God's spokesman, had said about what was coming in regard to these false teachers. Don't be surprised when you see some of these men rising up in the ranks of these churches, rising up within church culture, deceiving and masquerading false versions of the Christian faith. Instead, Jude says, remember what's already been said about them, and when you encounter them, contend for the faith. Contend for the faith that is found in the Scriptures. Let me remind us this morning as Christians, y'all, we don't roll on our backs in defeat when it comes to truth. That's not an area of ground that we ever give up. Truth is truth, and we remain very firm on what the Scriptures say. We fight for what is true. Let's go back to verse 17. We don't have any like clear 1, 2, 3 points. I just want us to walk through this text of Scripture this morning. Look at verse 17 again. Jude says, but you, dear friends. I said a moment ago, the last time that Jude had referred directly to the believers to whom he was writing was in verse 3, and he calls them here in verse 17, dear friends. If you go back to verse 3, the last time that he talked about them, look at Jude verse 3. He says, dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation that we share, there's that phrase again, dear friends, verse 3, verse 17. If you jump down to verse 20, you see Jude use it again. 3 occasions in this singular letter, every time he references these believers specifically, he calls them dear friends. I don't want us to skip over that. That's a term of endearment that he's using. It means that he loves them deeply. And he wants them to know that something is going on in the midst of their church that matters and that they needed to fight against. You see, when you use that term dear friends in the New Testament 3 times like Jude does, he's saying that because he's like, the reason I'm telling you about these things is because I love you. I could have just left this alone, but I love you enough to tell you that there's things going on in your churches that you need to fight against and you need to do something about. What does he call them to do in verse 17? We've said this several times, but I want us to remember it. He calls them to remember. He says, I want you to bring back to the forefront of your minds the things that the apostles had already told you in the Scriptures, how false teachers would infiltrate and seek to destroy the local church. Jude says, I told you about this in verses 4 through 16, but now I want to draw your minds back to what other people have said, that you highly respected the apostles. Let's pause there for just a moment. I think this is important, this idea of remembering. One of the most important spiritual habits you and I can develop as followers of Jesus is the practice of remembering. All right, let me say that again. One of the most important spiritual habits, one of the most important spiritual disciplines you and I can develop as followers of Jesus is the practice of remembering. Why? Because every day, we are bombarded with information, we are bombarded with circumstances that are seeking to steer our hearts away from Jesus. Every day, all the time, there's so many things that want to steer our hearts away from Jesus. And what's the solution to those things, to combating that? Remembering what God has already said through the Scriptures. That's the secret. That's the secret sauce to all of this. It's the practice of remembering what God has already said in the Scriptures. It's why David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have treasured, I have hidden in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. As we read the Scriptures and we engage with life and culture, we let the Scriptures inform how we see the world. When things are bombarding us, when we're hearing things all the time, all this stuff trying to steer us away from Jesus, we need to develop the habit and the practice of bringing back to mind what the Scriptures already said about our lives. Listen, this is so important. Please hear me. God reminded me of this week. If you don't know the Scriptures and you don't memorize the Scriptures and you don't implant the Scriptures in your heart, you're going to have a really hard time understanding what God is doing in the world. You're going to have a really hard time understanding why God is allowing certain things to happen in our world and in our culture. We need to let the scriptures inform how we see things, but we can only do that if we know what the Word of God actually says. I've joked about this before. I think one of the, I'm not going to say this, this is going to go on the radio. I think one of the worst, I can't even say it that way. I don't like IKEA. Let me just put it that way. I don't like IKEA. This is going on the radio, so I have to be careful what I say. I personally don't buy a lot of furniture from IKEA, but sometimes you can't beat the price. And so sometimes I go to IKEA and I buy furniture. So a few months ago, we did this. And we went to IKEA and we bought a dresser. And when I brought it home, I took it upstairs and I began to unpack this dresser. No exaggeration. If you bought IKEA furniture, you know exactly what I'm talking about. 600 pieces in this one small box to put together this dresser. Little screws, little bolts, labels in Swedish. If you didn't know that, I don't read Swedish, by the way. And you're holding, I remember, like you're holding this like this screw that doesn't look like a normal screw, and it's called like a Glupenglobin. And I'm like, what is this? You guys think I'm making this up, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. All of that doesn't make sense until you read the directions, right? Because the moment that you read the directions, you begin following the steps that the designer has laid out to put together this thing that is a dresser. The moment you read the directions, it works, and it all goes together exactly the way that they said it would. That's why we need to learn to recall the scriptures. We're trying to navigate life apart from the directions in which God has already laid out for us. We're trying to do things in our own strength, and we see this stuff going on around us. You can imagine some of these believers in Jude's day. They're going, what in the world's happening in our churches? Why are these people doing it? What's going on here? And Jude says, we already told you this was going to happen. Why are you trying to view the world through your own understanding rather than relying on what God already said? You're letting all this take you by surprise when the scriptures already said it was going to happen. So we need to practice the spiritual discipline of remembering, because if you don't know the scriptures, you're going to have a hard time understanding the world, aren't you? If you don't engage the scriptures, you're going to have a hard time understanding what's going on. And Jude just is reminding these believers, don't let it catch you off guard. He says, you've already been told that these individuals are coming. You already were told that they were going to teach things contrary to the scriptures. You were already warned of their sly deception. Don't let it catch you off guard. Instead, remember what you've already been told. Let me show you three examples of this from three apostles that these believers would have esteemed, just like you and I do, Peter, Paul, and John. Peter, Paul, and John already had written and said that there were going to be false teachers rising in these churches. Let me show you three quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you can turn there if you'd like to, Paul had been accused by the Corinthian church of maybe keeping some sort of spiritual knowledge from them, maybe being a financial burden on that church. And Paul, in this second letter in chapter 11, says, first off, what in the world are you talking about? And second, who told you that nonsense? And then look at what he writes to the Corinthian church. He starts in chapter 11, verse 13, for such people are false teachers, deceitful workers, disguising themselves. There's that sly tactic as apostles of Christ. And no wonder. He says, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, so it is no great surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, and their end will be according to their works. Paul warns the Corinthians that there are people in their churches who are described, that they would believe are people of righteousness, but they're under disguise and they're agents of Satan, and they're causing division in the Corinthian church. So when Jude says in verse 17, don't forget what the apostles already wrote, Jude's saying, Paul already talked about this, and now they're in your church too. Then he points out, we could go to Peter's second letter. The second letter that Peter wrote, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he says, there were indeed false prophets among you. That's pretty clear. Just as there will be false teachers among you, and they will bring destructive heresies, denying the master who bought them, and they will bring swift destruction on themselves. Oh gosh, this is scary. Many will follow their depraved ways. That's one of the scariest verses in the New Testament right there. Many will follow their depraved ways, and the way of truth will be maligned because of them, and they will exploit you in their greed. Listen, with made-up stories. We said a couple of weeks ago that Jude warned these believers to whom he was writing. He said, don't follow these guys because they're simply having dreams, and they're saying that that's what's true, And that's what they're teaching y'all. Peter says, keep your eyes open. There will be false teachers among you, and they'll say things that sound good, but they have one goal, serving themselves by exploiting you. They're going to exploit the people in their churches for personal gain. What's Jude say? Remember what the apostle said? Peter already talked about this. Let me give you one more. What about John's first letter? 1 John 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John is simply saying, don't take everything that's said at face value. Test what people say is from God. Compare it to the Word of God. Why? Because there's false teachers among you. Y'all, I hope you develop a habit of when someone in our church is teaching the Bible, that you ensure that we're teaching what's in the Bible. If we ever say things that are not in the Bible in what we're teaching, I hope that you would call that out on us, that you would pull us aside and say, Aaron, what you said is not in the Scriptures. Joe, what you said is not in the Scriptures. Seth, what you said is not in the Scriptures. We have to be people of the Bible. That's why, let's go on to verse 17. Verse 17, what does Jude go on to say? Remember what was predicted by the apostles. Don't let it catch you off guard. Things are going just the way they were expected to go. How do we know? Because Peter already said it was going to happen. John already said it was going to happen. Paul already said it was going to happen. Jude's just emphasizing that it is happening. Things are going the way that they were expected to go. Now, for me, and I don't know about you, sometimes for me it can be a little disheartening. It can be a little disheartening to see and hear some things sometimes in Christian culture that's taught as Christian and as Scripture, things that aren't like in the Bible. But sometimes rather than teaching anchored to the Scriptures, we just use like Scripture as a prop. Like, all right, I got something really important I want to say. Let me find three Bible verses to support what I want to say. That can like be really disheartening sometimes. But I'm reminded, according to what Jude says, don't be surprised by that. Jude says things are going the exact way that the apostles said that they were going to go. Counterfeit versions of Christian faith are to be expected. It's just the way things are going to be working out. And the Lord already told us about all of this in the Scriptures. So what do we do? Contend. Verse 4, Jude already says, you stay true to what the Scriptures say. Be people of the Bible. Be Bible people. And don't be surprised when counterfeit versions arise. But as for us, let's be Bible people. Look at verse 18. 18, Jude says, they told you in the end times there would be scoffers living according to their own ungodly desires. So what Jude is doing is he's summing up verses 4 through 17 for us. And he's also summing up what Paul already said. He's summing up what John already said, what Peter already said right here in verse 18. Everything that all of these guys said summed up in one simple verse. In the end time, there will be scoffers living according to their own ungodly desires. If you got a copy of the Scripture, circle that for that phrase, end time. That can get you a little wonky if you're not careful. What is the end time? It's everything after the resurrection of Jesus. Right? So think of human history this way. Adam and Eve, everything was going uphill towards the cross, crucifixion, resurrection. Now everything's moving towards eternity. That's what the end time actually is. Everything historically is moving towards eternity. So when Jude was writing these believers, that's what he's talking about, the end time. What did he say? There will be scoffers living according to their own ungodly desires. That word scoffer, your Bible might say mocker in that verse. That's a word that's only used two times in the entirety of the New Testament, here and in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. It's only two times it's used. Both times it's in reference to false teachers. Look at 2 Peter 3, 3 quickly. 2 Peter 3, 3 says this, above all, be aware of this, scoffers, mockers will come in the last days, scoffing and following their own evil desires. When Jude uses it, when Peter uses it, it's a word that means to be intentionally opposed to what the Word of God actually says. The root of the word that they use, it actually means to, this is crazy, it means to play or to mock like a child. I heard that and I thought, you guys remember when you were children, 4 or 5 years old, and you had to make fun of a friend, and you'd take your fingers, you'd stick them in your ear, you'd stick your tongue out, and you go, nah, nah, nah. That's the perfect picture of what these false teachers were doing. Rather than aligning themselves with what God had said, they were driven by their own desires. And it's essentially they were sticking their hands in their ears and they were just mocking what God actually said to benefit themselves physically, to benefit themselves monetarily. And Jude says in verse 19, these people create divisions and they're worldly, not having the Spirit. Everything they were saying didn't come from God because it couldn't. They weren't indwelt by the Spirit of God. They were not Christians. We've said this before. You're not a Christian because you go to a church. You're not a Christian because your grandpa was a preacher. That's like, I've joked about this, but I'm serious. That's like saying you're a frozen pizza because you're standing in the freezer aisle of Walmart. It doesn't work that way. What makes you a Christian? It's repenting of sin, acknowledging the lordship of Jesus, and submitting your life to Him. That's what makes you a Christian. And when you do that, the Bible teaches in Romans 8 that the Spirit of God then dwells inside of you. It's incredible. But Jude warns us that these false teachers, verse 19, they didn't have the Spirit. The Spirit of God was not inside of them. And if Jesus is not Lord of your life, if Jesus is not boss and master of your life, what becomes the driving force then of all your decision making? And this is so important. If my life is not guided by the Spirit of God in everything I do, then what drives the decision making of my life if I'm not a Christian? Jude tells us in verse 10. He says, the driving force of someone without the Spirit of God indwelling them is simply immoral and irrational instinct. You heard that phrase before? Just follow your heart. That's functioning by human instinct, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Look at what he said in verse 10. But these people blaspheme anything they don't understand, and they do and what they do understand by instinct, like irrational animals. By these things they are destroyed. So if you don't have the Spirit of God, Jude is reminding us that when the Spirit is not what's guiding you, that we simply do what we think is right and what feels good to me in the moment. Because without the Spirit, my life is about me and not what Jesus wants. That's why Jude says that these individuals are worldly and divisive. It's the only time in the Scripture, that idea of being divisive right there, it's the only time in the New Testament that that word is used. It means that they were functioning in such a way that they thought they had this like enlightened understanding of God apart from the Word of God. Y'all, let me just remind us of a couple things as we begin to close today. We don't get to define right and wrong. Jesus does those things. We don't get to determine what good and bad is. We don't get to write the rule book on morality. We don't get to define any of those things. Jesus defines those things. And when you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, then you function in those truths. And it's why, if there's one thing we've seen from Jude over and over, let's make sure we're anchoring ourselves in the Word of God. Stay anchored in the Scriptures. Align your life with the Scriptures. Run to the Scriptures to understand the world, because it's the source of everything that is right and true. And anything else is a counterfeit version if it's not anchored in the Word of God. Let me close with a quick little story. A story this week of a couple in New York City who received in the mail two tickets to a Broadway show the coming weekend, a few blocks away from their apartment. They thought it was interesting because those tickets to that Broadway show arrived in their mailbox without a note attached to them, without a return address, and there was no indication on the envelope who sent it. So they thought to themselves, man, what a kind gesture for someone to send us two tickets to a Broadway performance. They spent the next day or two reaching out to family and friends, trying to track down the sender of the gift. They made social media posts trying to figure out who was so kind to send us these Broadway tickets, but no one claimed that they were the senders. So still wondering who would have sent it, they still decided, you know what? What a great gift. And later that weekend, they attended that Broadway show and they enjoyed it immensely. What a nice gesture, they thought. It's such a great time. Late Saturday evening, they returned home to their apartment and they discovered that the entire apartment had been ransacked. They had valuable jewelry that was stolen, money that was taken, electronics pulled off the walls. The entire apartment was in shambles. And they knew the moment they walked through that front door that they had been robbed. And when they walked into the kitchen, on the counter, they found a small note card. And as they leaned over to read it, they read these words, "Now you know." And as their stomachs sank, they realized in that moment that the individual that was so kind to send them the Broadway tickets was the same individual that was so deceitful to ransack their entire apartment. Such is the false teachers of whom Jude is warning us of. Because Jude reminds us, kind of like that nameless thief, these false teachers had infiltrated churches, appealing to the carnal desires of their listeners. They were disguised as representatives of truth, offering these empty promises, lies described as godly things. But what Jude is warning each of us today, y'all, is that what these individuals were promising, what these false pastors were promising, comes at a very high cost. That when people were choosing to follow them, it comes with a high cost, because eventually, someday, you'll find out you've been deceived. It's why we got to stay anchored in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are where we find the source of truth. And let me remind us of this one more time, and I'll pray for us. Run from anything that may resemble Christianity that is not anchored in the Word of God. If it's not anchored in the Scriptures, run for your life, because eternity depends on it. Let me pray for us. God, we love you. I'm going to pray that your word would continue to do a sanctifying work in our hearts this morning. God, would you remind us to be a people of the Scriptures, be a people of the book, those who love your word and who want to align ourselves with what your word teaches. God, may you protect our ears, our eyes, our hearts. May you protect our church, our homes, our cars. Anywhere that we may go, Lord, may you protect us from anything masquerading as Christianity, but that is far from it. And if it's not anchored in the Scriptures, Lord, I pray we'd run and run far away from it. Jesus, I pray now as we sing in response to your word, Lord, as we give you the praise that only you deserve, God, we would be a people that sing loud. It would be a people that sing loud because hopefully our souls have been forgiven of sin, Lord, and we've aligned ourselves with you and made you Lord over our lives. I pray for any of my friends that maybe they're not certain if they've ever made that decision, that today would be that day, that they would acknowledge their sinful state before a holy God and trust what Jesus did on the cross to forgive their sins, trust that his resurrection secures eternity for them. And all of that is theirs through a simple, heartfelt prayer of, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I want to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so, God, I pray that our voices ring loud and clear in the corridors of heaven as we join in the angels who are already singing. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.